Good evening. Welcome.
John and Pam McGee, we've been at Watermark like since the beginning of time. We've been here, I think, like 22 years on staff and all but 10 weeks of the church. And we have spent so many rich, rich nights here on Wednesday nights in this room. And it's always really fun to be back. So another lifetime ago, I was the director of Reengage here. So I was Matt. Another lifetime ago, and it was one of the funnest jobs I've ever had ever. Yeah. So you want to introduce our family?
Yeah, and then we'll jump in. Yeah. So John said we've been married. It'll be 30 years this summer. We've got 4 kids, a daughter-in-law. Love those guys. They're all two out of the house, 2 in college, and a dog. I forgot that picture was up there.
That's
yeah,
the old picture,
and
yeah.
It is. That's our COVID dog. But then we do have some new, as of just like a week and a half ago.
Indeed.
We have Miller. David is our first grandbaby, and so we are now Champ and Birdie. That's who we are. Yes.
Thank you.
So he is like 3 hours old there. But anyway, they're here in town, so that's super fun. They texted the other day, and they were like, it was the day they came home from the hospital, and Dawson, our oldest, said, hey, we have 1 roll of toilet paper left. And like, Lauren didn't want me to leave. We just got home. And I was like, I'm there. Like, I got toilet paper. And the next day I was like, you need paper towels? I'll be there again today. So whatever you guys need. But it's been really fun so far. We're excited to have that new part of life for us.
Yeah,
so,
it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
It's going to be really fun.
Yep.
So, certainly many, many years ago, Pam and I have been married almost 30 years. So I think it was year 2 of our marriage. We were vacationing with some friends up in the Pacific Northwest. Specifically, we were on the island of Victoria, is that right?
Victoria Island.
And has anyone been to Victoria Island before? Okay, why do you go to Victoria Island?
The gardens.
So yes, okay. I don't know why you guys went there, but that's why most people went. Yeah. So these world famous Bouchard Gardens. That's what you said. Yeah. So the world famous Bouchard Gardens. Think about like the Dallas Arboretum without 120 degree heat in the summer and what that would kind of bring. And so it really are spectacular gardens. So we're on our way to see that. Not necessarily a garden guy, but like it went in the neighborhood, we should probably go see this. And what we're looking for is this picture here. And so this was actually taken with a 35 millimeter camera, like a legit like film camera. Pam cut this and put it into our little scrapbook. So if
you remember
the days, yeah. So this house, this little house, it's on the island, is made out of stones. So these bunch of little bitty stones. So somebody made this, this little shed, I guess, out of stones. And so whenever we travel, now there's an app, it's called Atlas Obscura, and it'll just tell you just random stuff wherever you are. And you can look it up and you're like, oh, a house made out of Coke bottles, and you can swing by if that's your thing. And so along that same vein, we were looking for this, couldn't find it. We're just driving around, like we're close, we just paper maps, couldn't find it. And so Pam and our friends are trying to figure out where we are. I get out. Because I see this here. This is the same part of the house. This is into this couple's garden. And I was like, this is amazing. And we get out, and or I get out, they're still talking, and I get out and I come up to the fence, and we're just sitting there looking at this garden. And eventually, they invite us back into the garden. They said, "Hey, do you guys want a tour?" And we're like, "Yeah, that'd be awesome." And they kind of walked us around this area. They had a couple other areas, and just showed us how the garden worked. And it was, I could make the story really long, but like they had different soils at different parts. They've been at this thing forever. They had so much fun doing it, and it truly, it's one of the most amazing things I've ever seen, and in terms of a residential home. And that, again, we're like 35 millimeter film, hence the incredible, quality, their resolution.
The resolution, don't be jealous.
Scan picture of 35. But it was just stunning. And so they walked us around, told us all these things. And then the funniest part about the whole interaction was she stops and she goes, wait, we lived in Houston at the time. She goes, who's taking care of your garden? And we looked at each other and we're like, nobody. Nobody's taking care of our garden, And she just couldn't, she didn't have a category for not someone not there like 24/7 working on the garden, And I just laughed. And I said, hey, that's why our garden looks the way it looks and yours looks the way it looks, It's because of, and we'll use this category tonight, intentionality. This couple was off the charts intentional. And they worked the soil. They you know, early, late. They talked about it. They tried different things, and they just kept tweaking to produce. In terms of, you know, my limited exposure, I don't go around looking at a lot of gardens. Really, the most spectacular garden I'd ever seen in a home. And so, for Pam and I, that was early on in our marriage. That became a pretty good metaphor for us. Mm-hmm. Hey, how's your garden? And which is to ask, how intentional are we in our marriage? How intentional are we being? Like, because I think gardens reflect the amount of intentionality we give them, so do our marriages. And so the big umbrella tonight is intentionality. We're going to talk specifically about dating for a couple minutes. That was a topic that was given to us. But we're going to talk about intentionality as we start.
Yeah, so the definition of intentionality, and when I found this a few years ago, I just thought this really kind of put legs to it. It's doing something with purpose, design, or deliberateness. It's not just kind of coasting through. It's, I'm going to do something specifically. I'm going to try to move toward this guy, him toward me. We're just going to work on our marriage with purpose, with some design, some parameters, and just being deliberate about how we do it. So that's what intentionality looks like in marriage.
Yeah. So we'll talk about how to be intentional specifically in dating. And so I thought what we could do, I kind of did a word search and did some deep study this week, and I brought to you all the verses in the Bible about dating. Okay, we're going to look at every single one of them. There are no verses about dating in the scriptures. Okay, so everyone can just kind of calm down because you're not disobeying anything. God's not going to strike you dead because you have it. There's nothing specifically about dating in the Bible. And I get a little frustrated sometimes. Dating can become like a thing in and of itself, and people, you know, they go out. I don't know, they go out as much as they go out for to be together, as much as they go out for a photo op to post up on Instagram, you know, crushing date night, hashtag, you know, loving it, you know, married life and all these kinds of things. And I think that's great. Man, if that's you like to take pictures of yourself, go take pictures of yourself, show your friends. But it becomes sometimes a little bit of a weird thing where if you're not dating, you're not dating regularly, you're not dating in any big expressive ways, then you're doing it wrong. And I don't know that I buy that. And so tonight, I think about verses a little bit more like Ecclesiastes 9:9, right? Enjoy life with your wife. You know, Proverbs 5:18, he who finds a wife finds a good thing, you know, or rejoice in the wife of your youth, okay? We're supposed to enjoy each other. We're supposed to have fun together. That is the command. How we do so, we've got lots of different options, okay? Yeah. So tonight we'll talk about some of the things that we've done that have been helpful to us. And some of you are in a place like, I just actually couldn't even imagine going on a date with my spouse. And I've got you at the end. We'll talk about that a little bit. So anything else?
And so just to John's point, we'll talk kind of specifically. We'll give you all some ideas. The thought is for you guys to just put your brain as a couple on a mental treadmill. Everybody in here is unique on what they like to do, just the way they're wired. Every marriage is in a different spot. And so whatever, we may say something and you're like, that sounds absolutely horrible, but you know what? We might could do this and we would like something like this better. And so just whatever it might look like for you as an individual couple in your own unique marriage, like, okay, let's think about what might work for us. And so we're going to give you lots of just ideas. There'll be practical ones. There'll be just some theoretical ones. But that's kind of the idea.
Yeah. And so, again, just to say it a different way, what Pam is like, don't try to do all this. And whatever you do, don't tell your spouse they're less than because they're not doing all this stuff. Okay. And so years ago, we'd have a new mom's class, and Pam would come up. It would happen like once a month. And Pam would come up here, and this old seasoned mom who had all kinds of wisdom and all kinds of like, you know, patterns that you could follow and plans you could execute and books you could read. She'd come home every single month with all of this stuff. And it was like the worst night of my month every time. And I remember she'd come back with this laundry list of stuff for us to do, you know, or for I felt like for me to do. And I remember one night, I was like, hey, where are you going? She's like, go to that mom's thing. And I was like, oh, no. And I said, I'll give you $100 if you don't go up there. We just stay home and just talk about our kids. But please don't come back with another list and beat me up with it, you know. And we just laughed. And so what would happen then is Pam went and she'd come back. She goes, of all the ideas I heard, I thought this one was the most intriguing. I was like, okay, I can work with that.
Yep.
Okay. And so you're just thinking about, hey, is there something we could do that would drive us together, something that would be fun for us? That'd be a good conversation we could have. That's the goal, okay? Not to outdate each other and come in here and brag and And show off. So, okay, you want to talk about some of the stuff that we've done?
Yeah, so one thing, and this is just more theoretical, but it looks really practical, and we'll break it down, is just commit to rhythms. And so just kind of think about this one. It's been helpful for us. Divert daily, withdraw weekly, and abandon annually. So in different life stages, that's looked different. Divert daily looks like, hey, in some capacity, we're just going to make sure we connect throughout the day. When the kids were little, it was maybe a two-minute conversation. Are you still alive? Yeah, I'm still alive. Okay, we'll catch you tomorrow. Now we're empty nest, and we have hours to walk with us and the dog. And so it just has looked different, but in some way, whether by text or just kind of, you know, face-to-face, just in some way, kind of divert daily and just make sure we're good and we're connecting.
Yeah. So a lot of couples, you know, or some couples, will have coffee every morning. They start the day together. Mm-hmm. Pam and I are not at our best. We're not morning people, you know, and we get up at different times almost every single day. Yep. And so, but we tend to every day just make sure that we talk to each other a couple times during the day. That works for us. Some couples pray every morning. They pray every night. They've got their own rhythm. But you do want to think about, for you, what's something that you can do? Just a simple sitting down at the table. Hey, what was your high? Yep. What was your low? Just catch me up. What was great? What was hard today? I want to know. So whatever your rhythm is on the daily side, you want to make sure that you're doing something there.
So, yeah. And so the next one is withdraw weekly. And so that could be more just that idea of what is a date night, whether weekly or, you know, maybe every other week, what does some kind of a date night look like? And again, back to the point, it looks different in different life stages. So when our kids were little, we had four little ones running around. Over 6 years, we had four kids. And there was not money for food and a babysitter. We had to pick one or the other. And so we'd be like, okay, we want to eat. And so we would put the kids to bed early and just get dinner, pick up dinner like at Central Market or something, and have just a date night at our kitchen table. So that looked like then. Then later, as the kids got older, that magical time, I don't know if any of y'all are there or close, when the kids can stay home by themselves. And all of a sudden, you have a little bit more income from babysitter that you don't have to pay. And so we would go out more. But it just looks different in different life stages. And so we made sure, whether it was weekly or every few weeks or something like that, to kind of have some extended time, just a few hours, just the two of us.
Yeah. And I remember... when the kids were little, I don't know if you guys have ever done this, it's like, man, we got to wear these guys out, you know? And so date night was always Monday. We had a couple rules. Like we tried to batch any of our hard conversations until Monday. So if we were frustrated with each other on Tuesday, we had to wait during that. We had to wait till Monday, which we were so dang tired that we forgot about half the things that we were agitated about, you know? And we were just like, hey, it's quiet. We enjoyed the meal together. But it was my job to come home and wear them out, you know? And I remember just, you know, we're doing wind sprints and time trials in the back. And then they always seemed to have, like, sniffles. They always got Benadryl that night, you know, and that's a laughter of familiarity, right? Yeah. And so we just put them down and was like, oh, we're just together. And yes. that was our date night, and that counted. You want to talk about just kind of some of the progression once we had money and time?
So just some of the dates that we've got just some ideas. The last few years, as the kids got older again, they could stay home by themselves. We did just some like kind of theme dates. So one year we said, hey, every month we're going to do a learning date, and we're just going to put some time into it, and we are going to just learn to do some new thing that we haven't. So now we have learned to throw pottery. We went sailing. We learned how to sail. We took a cooking class, and then John's favorite, like, we are now professional glass blowers.
Has anybody been glass blowing? The group on. Man, what a racket, dude! It's such a scam. I thought we were going to get the tools and, like, you know, bend the glass, and you sit there, and the guy's got all the tools and this long tube, and he just tells you to blow every once in a while, and you sit there and you blow it, and he does all the magic. And I was like, man, I thought I was going to get to do that. So anyway, we have got some great
memories. We do have some good memories of that. But the pottery, we have that. It's hidden. It's tucked away behind the picture frames because it's not very good. But it was fun.
There's a good correlation with new experiences and kind of couples feeling connected. And so that year, we just said, hey, once a month, let's just go learn something. I don't think we did 12 different dates, but we did the best we could.
Yeah. A couple of other things. If you've been in Dallas a long time, and like we've been here for a long time, we did like some someday dates. So we were like those places where we drove by, and we were like, someday we'll do that. Someday we'll go to Las Colinas and ride in the gondolas. Do they even have those anymore? Have y'all ever done that? They have gondolas on the water, like you can pretend you're in. You can pretend you're in Venice. They have those. And we did that. It was fine.
We saved you. You don't have to.
We did it to save y'all from it. No. But just things that you like, we've been here a long time, and we said we'll do that someday. So this month, we're going to go do that thing. So that was kind of some fun random things.
This year, let's go do the thing.
One of our favorites. Yep.
So as kids were getting older and things were just a little bit less predictable, we said, hey, let's kind of batch it. We'll spend time together. We'll run errands. We'll have fun. We'll do all this kind of stuff throughout the week. But for 24 hours, or really one evening, let's just block it. And just kind of make that one sacred each month. And so we just called it the best of us dates. And here were the rules. We would block it normally on a Friday, or normally it's Friday night. I'd come home and cell phone went up immediately. And so if I was home, say 5:30, we would go out, and I wasn't allowed to see my phone. That was self-imposed. It wasn't Pam. And then you could give a gift if you wanted to. You could kind of give a gift to each other. And then the rule was the day before, you would go to bed as if tomorrow was your biggest meeting of the month, right? So imagine you've got this big presentation and kind of your big bonus is on the line. You would prepare for that, and you would go to bed, and you would wake up, you know, ready to go. And so we wanted to make sure that, you know, kind of the place where we were when we got together was like our absolute most attentive and most energetic when we got together. And so we would be together from, you know, probably 6 o'clock until we went to bed. We'd come home and the kids were out and we're like, see you tomorrow. And we wouldn't even, you know, pause to say hi. And we'd go back to our room and just kind of finish up the day there. Okay. But there was something about just having that on the calendar. And I can remember just going, we're 2 weeks away. We're 1 week away. We're 3 days away. And we got together. And of all the things that we've done, that's where it felt like the most sacred. Like, hey, we're really important. You're important. Our marriage is important. And you've got all of us. You've got all of me. And I'm at my absolute best this entire month. And I brought my best just to be with you. And that just has served us really, really well. And so I don't know what it would be like for you. Some people will put down things that are fun and they'll put them in a jar. And so they put a date night on the calendar, and they don't know, and they just go and pull it, and they're like, oh, let's go eat there, let's go do this. We had some friends that they would give each other, they took turns planning, they would give each other a number, a letter, and a color.
Yeah.
And the other person then had to kind of plan the date. So if it was like, if it was 3 and it was blue and I don't even know, an S, then you would, I remember one time they went to Blue Goose, and they ordered like 3 appetizers, and then they went and got a shake afterwards or something like that. But that's, they would give each other these constraints, and the other person had, you know, whatever it was, I think a month to put it together, and it just worked for them. Mm-hmm. And so I'd say whatever it is for you, we've got some friends, they love to read. I wouldn't feel connected this way, but they just stay in. They schedule date nights, and they sit right next to each other on the couch, and they read. And I was like, do you guys talk together? He goes, nope, we just sit there and read. And then when it's time, we close the book, and we'll give each other, you know, about 5 sentences about what we read. And I go, you guys feel close? He goes, we feel so close. I was like, man, you should do that, you know. But the whole time, I would be going, hey, you want to talk? Let's do something fun. That would be terrible for us. But for them, right, 2 unique people, mm-hmm. 2 unique life seasons, that's what felt that's what brought them together. And I think that really is one of the big questions, is, hey, what's fun? Mm-hmm. When do we feel close? That tonight would be a really good question. So yeah. Anything else on
this? Yeah, and just what works, again, back to the life stage, what works. But then also don't be like, man, just phone it in until our kids are old enough to not have a babysitter. Or just, like, you can still be intentional even when they're little, even when you're tired. Kind of like we did. Okay, we have 2 hours at home. You know, after the kids go to bed. So don't wait until they're older. Figure it out. But it does look different in different life stages. And so the last one, abandon annually. And so we, in our 30 years of marriage, we have gotten away every year in some capacity, whether it's 24 hours or longer. And I remember early on, back to that stage when the kids were little and money was also very little, we did that Priceline thing. I don't even know if they still have it. You give them kind of the top dollar that you can spend, and then 2 hours before they tell you what hotel you're going to. We drove by that hotel the other day, and we were horrified that we stayed there.
I wouldn't let anybody in my family.
I know
get out of the
we
car
made it out there. Alive, yeah. but we went there. I remember we just, like, kids were little. I think we just wanted to sleep, and so we got some dinner and just went and slept, I think, at the hotel. But
for 2 days. I asked you what you wanted to do. You said sleep.
I want to sleep and maybe watch a movie.
Okay.
Totally. Yeah. So we did that. And then there's also for our 20-year anniversary, we kind of intentionally saved up some airline miles and some money. And we spent a week in Iceland. And that's just like one of our favorite places. It's our favorite place in the world. And we just kind of looked back to 20 years, looked ahead to the next 20 and what that would look like. And so in some way, prioritized to get away annually.
Yeah. So what's fun?
When do we feel
connected? What would be divert daily? How could we connect daily? Yeah. How could we withdraw weekly or even it could be monthly? And then is there a yearly rhythm? Whatever it is for you, okay? And some people don't even want to leave. They just want to send their kids. If they got kids, they send them off to grandparents' house. And they just love waking
staycation.
Up late,
yep.
Having coffee, and that does it for them. And you should do that. Mm-hmm. But whatever it is, you should do something. Okay, you should do something. So some of you are in here and going, man, I just can't imagine even going on a date right now. I understand. Mm-hmm. And I would say, is this game more fun with two? Of course it is. Of course it is, okay? But if there's a little box on there, intentionality is a game you can be played with one or two players. And so if it's just one, I would encourage you to be working on yourself here, whether your spouse wants to talk about your re-engage homework or not. I would encourage you to look for ways to encourage them, even if you don't get a bunch of gratitude or thanks back. What would it look like to just move towards them? What would it look like to encourage them? If they don't pray for you, you still pray for them. You read your scriptures and you go, that's a verse I want to pray for my spouse. You could tell them or not, but you just keep being intentional. And what happens a lot of times is loving actions bring about loving feelings. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we wait until we feel like it. And I think a better way to think about it is I'm going to do the thing until I feel like it. And I would encourage you not to just stop because either you don't feel like it or because they're not reciprocating, okay? Which, same thing about going out on dates. What if I don't feel like it? I'd still put it on the calendar. If they're willing, I'd go. You don't have to make it. Some of these are pretty darn extravagant. You don't have to do that. You can go get a taco. Ask how your day was. Ask how your week was. What's coming up?
Yeah, that's, and can I say, even if it doesn't go well, I do remember one of our best of us dates. It was not the best of either of us. We needed a redo. Both were not feeling good. I remember just halfway through going, okay, let's finish this up, but what if we redo this next month? Yeah. And so there weren't 12 amazing best of us dates. We were just kind of there on one of them. So just till death do us part, we're committed to this thing. We're moving toward intentionality. There's going to be some bumps and it's going to be kind of a little bit like this. And so just keep pouring in, keep going.
Yep. One of our friends, they did a hike. They tried to do 52 hikes in Dallas. I can't, between me and in a year.
Where were they hiking?
Between
52
me and you,
hikes
I don't
in
think
Dallas.
52. Yeah. They had to repeat, you know, some very average hike. But that was it. And I remember them talking about it. They're like, that was so fun to us, you know. And they looked forward to it. And at the end, they had a bucket of memories and pictures and things like that. So if that sounds terrible to you, don't do that, okay? I heard one guy said when he grew up, they went on a quest for the best banana milkshake in Dallas. I don't even know how many places would serve banana milkshakes anymore, but they would have like a little grading system, and they went, you could do that with coffee, you could do that with tacos, you could do that with anything. Do you, mm-hmm. but do something, okay? And just start where you are. And so back, we'll end where we closed, or we will close where we began. You know, back to that garden there, we got our kids in front of our house. It's been about, I don't know, 12 years ago. And we told them about that garden, and I got them out front, and we kind of sat there, and I said, hey, guys. And we looked at our lawn with probably a broken sprinkler system and, you know, hedges that were overgrown. I said, someday we're going to win yard of the month. And that's what they did. They laughed. They laughed so hard. We all just laughed, you know. And we're like, they're just like, if you look around, if you're looking here, the 8 yards here, we probably have the worst. We're a blight, you know, to the neighborhood kind of thing. But we just started working. We pulled up these bushes in the midst of that. We broke the sprinkler system even more. We had to repair it. We planted these little bushes because I didn't want to spring for the big ones, and they were really cheap. We planted those, and we just pulled weeds and, you know, just started fertilizing the lawn, and just kind of bit by bit by bit. Some years we were doing really, really good, and then
some years the squirrels get all your pansies, like everyone.
Squirrels,
they get all my pansies.
One of the maddest I've ever seen, Pam. But we've been working on it. It's been kind of a 12-year project, and so we were driving down to Houston. It's been a month or a month and a half now.
Yeah.
We're driving down 45, all the traffic, all the fun, and Pam looks at her phone, and she goes, stop talking. And I was like, what? She goes, we won yard of the month. And I was like, no way. And so that is, we
did.
They put that sign in our yard. A couple caveats. We live in a pretty small neighborhood, okay?
So
it wasn't like we beat out 20,000 people. And it was also like in between seasons, so it wasn't yet summer and it wasn't yet fall, and so
it was
just kind of
like,
take
away our victory. Yeah, it was still a victory.
I don't want somebody to drive by and go that
yeah,
house. But,
yeah, true.
But I will tell you, here's the thing: it looks, literally about 10 times better than it did, and we just started where we were. Man, we started where we were. There's houses that have still like. We win because you can't give the same award to the same
that
couple
totally
every time, right?
It was pity.
It's it's better. That's what I can tell you.
Yep.
It's better. And I don't know that we yet 100% love our flower garden and our yard, but I like it more than I did 12 years ago. And I do so because we work in there and we pull weeds. We pull things that are taking away life, and we put things in the soil that are nourishing it, and we water it, and we're just attentive to it. And we're finding that our garden's growing a little bit more than it was, and we're enjoying it a little more than we were. I think it's a pretty good metaphor for marriage. And so, friends, I just ask you, hey, how's your garden? What would it look like to take a step of intentionality? What would be fun? When do we feel connected? And do you? Don't worry about anybody else. And I hope you, I don't care what a garden looks like at your house, but I do hope that in the coming days, weeks, years, you do enjoy the garden of your relationship.
Yeah.
Because you're intentional, and you keep at it, even if you don't feel like it at times. So, anything else?
No, let me pray for us.
Great, that'd be great.
Lord, thank you for these couples. Thank you that you know exactly where every couple is. You know exactly what they need to do for their next step just to move towards each other, because you are a unique God and you love every unique couple. Thank you for being intentional with us, that you don't wait for us to get our stuff together, that you move toward us. And so thank you, because of that, we can move toward our spouse. And I pray that you give every person in here just a vision for what they could do and the courage to do that. And so just thank you again for this place, for your word, and for your Holy Spirit, and for your people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.